188 years ago this week, a small band of valiant men began a long struggle for freedom. They pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor, not only to found a nation, but to forge an ideal of freedom.
Too many guns on the street. We lose 93 million Americans a day to gun violence.
Greetings, white America. This is Tommy Freedom broadcasting to you loud and clear on the alt-right frontier from my log cabin in a secret mountaintop location somewhere in Appalachia. Every day, we battle the loony left.
Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
But still, we manage to persevere because the good guys always win, even in the 20s. Hey everyone, and welcome back to Freedom Rings. This too is going to be an episode dealing with the coronavirus, and I hate to keep going on and on about it, but this whole thing just keeps going on and getting more and more ridiculous all the time. You know, I was actually going to start this out with something a little bit different from the intro I typically have with White Wolf there. I was looking for the Boys of Summer by Don Henley because I was out today, and there's nobody on the road and nobody on the beach. I mean, everything's completely desolate. Now, granted, I am doing this on Sunday morning. It's the only time I've got available to do this. I'm just slammed this week. I've got 9,300 papers I got to put out because I have my monthly route. So I'm just absolutely slammed and trying to get this show worked in wherever I can, get it recorded and sent into my program director so that he can get it put up. But there was nobody on the road. And I mean, we're talking here in Mecklenburg County, which is the largest by volume number in North Carolina and some outlying counties. I mean, there were some people there. And of course, Lowe's and Home Depot were just packed. I mean, everybody was there, just like at the supermarkets. And it's because we are now on stay-at-home orders. And you can go to the grocery store, you can go to the hardware store. The hardware stores are open. And because Lowe's and Home Depot are considered hardware stores, everybody's flocking there. They're going to the garden department. They're buying plants and potting soil. And, oh, they're just doing a huge volume of business there. And people are complaining. These people are violating the orders. They're buying this stuff. They shouldn't be buying it because, you know, it's a load of crap. Hey, if people are forced to stay home, let them do some gardening. That's something good. Let them get some plants in the ground, especially vegetables. Now, I stopped in there to try and find some cucumbers. They still didn't have them. I've got my tomatoes, and I've got a couple of dozen peppers I've got going. But I still need my cucumbers, and they didn't have them, so I was a little disappointed. But my whole point being, you cannot curb the American people like this. You just cannot. Now, Mecklenburg County put us on the stay-at-home thing about a week ago. And as of Monday afternoon at 5 o'clock, the entire state of North Carolina has been put on this. Now, it's not quite shelter in place. It's not quite lockdown. It's not really being fully enforced. It's just being highly suggested that unless you're essential, that you shouldn't be on the road. And, you know, that's good. It's good to make the suggestion like that. The problem is that there is at least one county here in the state of North Carolina, Buncombe County, which is where Asheville is located. If you're not familiar with Asheville, it's an artsy-fartsy, highfalutin, expensive town. It's where the Biltmore Estate is. It's become known as the San Francisco of the East Coast. It's loaded with homosexuals and millennials, or millennials, I should say. And it's just a really, really, it's a place you just don't want to go to if you're conservative. Well, in Buncombe County, they are pulling you over if you're on the road, and they're demanding to see proof of why you're on the road. And we remember this, folks. Papers, please. This is wartime or pre-wartime Nazi Germany demanding to see your papers, to see who you are, to prove that you have the right to be out on the road. And I'm sorry, but that's not how it works, at least not in this country. I'm protected by the First and Fourth Amendments that I can pull right out off the top of my head right now. It's a violation of my Fourth Amendment to pull me over for no reason. That's an illegal search and seizure. And to deprive me of my right to go and peaceably assemble, that's a violation of the First Amendment. So this whole thing, I'm sure it's going to be challenged in courts. But in the meantime, we're starting to see a dangerous precedent being set here, folks. I mean, they were even talking about locking down the tri-state area under a quarantine. That didn't go through. But this is just getting out of hand. It's getting absolutely ridiculous. And there are a lot of states that are prohibiting people from New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, from coming into their states or into their towns without self-quarantining. And here's a new one. I don't know if you've heard of this, but people are actually fleeing New York State and hiding in Rhode Island. They're actively searching these people out. They're hunting them down. These people, they're like running away because it's gotten so bad in New York that they're just fleeing to these other areas and they're trying to hide out. What has this country gotten to when we get to that point? I just don't understand it. And this whole thing, I've told you, it's overblown. Now, yeah, there's a lot of cases in New York, especially New York City, but you've got millions of people there, so the numbers are going to go up. And let me just give you an example. Here in North Carolina, as of the time I'm doing this show, on Sunday morning, it's up to about 1,100 verified cases. As of Friday afternoon, it was, I think, 963. So it's jumped up considerably, almost to 1,100 cases. 4 deaths out of those known cases. That's less than 0.25%, folks. 4 deaths out of 1,100 people. And that's just who they know have been tested positive on this. It's not who actually has this. You can't get these accurate numbers unless you have accurate numbers. You cannot extrapolate data from numbers that are inaccurate. And there's many, many times that number of cases that are out there of people like myself who had this thing and come through it with flying colors. A lot of people don't even know they've even had it. The symptoms are so mild. So the number of cases, it has to be at least 5 times that. 5,000, and now all of a sudden you're down to under 0.1%, which is less than the common flu. This is why I keep saying everyone is overreacting on this. Yes, it is more easily transmissible than the normal everyday flu, what now they're calling the American flu, which I think originally started out as the Asian flu. But it's going nowhere. It's more easily transmittable, but for most people, it's nowhere near as serious. And you got Governor Cuomo, I was going to say Mario Cuomo, who is it in there now? Andrew Cuomo, running off at the mouth because Vice President Pence said that he's going to send 400 of the ventilators their way. And he's screaming, "We need 10,000. We need 10,000. You think you deserve a pat on the back for only sending us 400? Well, there aren't 10,000 in existence right now, you friggin' moron. What is wrong with you? Are you actually expecting them to send everything that they've got? Are you expecting them to just magically make these things appear like we're on some magical mystery tour? No, that's not going to happen. What he wants to happen is for the government to nationalize companies like Ford, General Motors, and Chrysler to do nothing but start cranking out these ventilators. Then what are you going to do with them? Somebody's screaming that we need 1 million ventilators, or we're going to need 1 million ventilators now. But let's just stop and think about that for a moment, okay? Because I'm always talking about people overreacting. There's 300 million people in this country. So if you need 1 million ventilators, that means 1 in 300 people are going to be on ventilators? No, I'm sorry, that's not going to happen. It's just not. This thing is not that serious. 10,000 is more of a normal number, a more reasonable number, I guess, is the word I was looking for. This has just gotten absolutely ridiculous and out of hand. And the more the liberals scream about this, people are starting to listen to it, and they're getting scared, and they're getting panicky, and they're reacting that way. There's still no toilet paper or paper towels on the shelves. But here's something interesting that I noticed before this whole thing went statewide. When I leave Mecklenburg County, because I do deliver Mecklenburg County, but I also deliver in some adjacent counties, when I went into any grocery store, they had everything. Well, they didn't have the toilet paper or the paper towels, but they had milk. They had bottled water. They have potatoes. Everything that you can't get here in Mecklenburg County that's just simple stuff, the shelves were loaded with elsewhere. Here in Mecklenburg County, the ABC stores, and for those of you who don't live in North Carolina, that stands for Alcoholic Beverage Commission. You don't have privately owned liquor or package stores here in the state of North Carolina. I think South Carolina gives you the option of going to ABC or to privately owned ones. But here in North Carolina, it's all controlled by the state. They're called ABC stores. And Mecklenburg County came up with this stupid thing. I stopped in a week ago last Friday. And I'm sorry, it was last. That's how much time is flying here for me. It was a Friday anyway. I don't remember if it was this past Friday or the Friday before. No, it was the Friday before when they first put this thing in. I pull up, it's like 10 after 10 when they open. And there's a line down the sidewalk. And I got out of my car and I walked over there and I said something to the guy at the end of the line. I said, what are they doing? Like, just letting 10 people in at a time or something? He goes, I don't know. And about that time, one person walks out the door and then another person walks in. I'm like, that's exactly what they're doing. Oh no, it was even better than that. What they were doing is they were coming out and talking to like the first five people in line and taking their order. Like at the drive-thru at Chick-fil-A, if you've ever gone to Chick-fil-A at lunchtime, they have people that actually come out and walk the lines and take your order and submit it electronically, so it goes a lot faster. So somebody's coming out, taking your order, they're pulling the order from the shelves and letting in one person at a time to make their purchase. That's how ridiculous it had gotten, and it still is here. You go to the outlying counties, you just walk in the store, get your stuff, pay for it like any place else. It's absolutely and utterly ridiculous the way that people are overreacting to this. And when I post on social media, well, the only thing I post on is Facebook. I don't get into any other ones. You know, I'm attacked by these people who say I'm overreacting, and they hope and pray that, you know, I don't come down with this or that my dad doesn't come down with this. Well, I've already had it. And he did too, and his symptoms were even less than mine because I think I mentioned this to you before. He's on anti-cancer medications, and he's on stuff to boost his immune system. All he got was an occasional cough and I think one or two sneezes, and that was it. And knowing what I had, either he gave it to me, he went out and got a hold of something, go to the pharmacy and gave it to me, or I got it from money like I think I did and then gave it to him. Either way, we came through this thing unscathed. He's 86 years old, and all he got was a slight cough and a sneeze here and there. Now, this whole reaction to this, it's just a knee-jerk reaction. And I've mentioned this to stores that are open. I said, you know, this would be funny if it wasn't for the severity of the situation. They're like, yeah. And they're all frustrated. I let it slip at the drive-thru the other day. You know, I'm tired of this. And, you know, the word, you know, is similar to crap, but it begins with S. And the girl's like, yeah, and everybody is under the same thing. Every business I stop in, you know, I'm getting tired of this. And yeah, so are we. And what is it gaining them? Absolutely nothing. So now you go to a place like New York City, where the population is like, what is it now, 8 or 10 million, essentially what you have in the entire state of North Carolina. Well, everybody's a lot closer together. So for the known numbers that you have, yes, there's a lot more deaths there. But if the rate of infection is like it is here, because there's so many people in close proximity, your numbers are going to be highly skewed because, again, so many people probably don't even realize that they've got it and that they're passing it on to other people. Well, when this is all over and done with, they're going to have tests. I think they've got them now. They're just not using them to test to see if you've got the antibodies in your blood to confirm whether you've already had it or not. They just haven't really started using them yet. I'm almost positive that they do have those tests. They're just not out there because right now they're trying to test for people who actually have it, and they're two different tests. But when this is all over and done with, the numbers are going to be much, much higher than what they're alluding to. And this is all going to come out that this whole thing was an overreaction, or even worse, that this whole thing is a false flag operation. And yeah, I know, conspiracy theory, Tommy, conspiracy theory. This whole thing could be a test, a dry run for something like this in the future that could be very, very serious and used as, well, I'm going to call this a litmus test. Just to see how the public is going to react to this. Are they going to accept being pulled over at roadside checks? And are they going to give their papers? Are they going to go through with this? There's at least one sheriff here in the state of North Carolina who has suspended all gun permits, all pistol permits, until further notice. Of course, he's being sued for it. But this is the kind of garbage that we're going to have to start looking at here. Now, there are some other counties who are just suspending the whole permit process altogether, at least as far as concealed carry permits go. They're just issuing them. If you apply, boom, you're getting it. I wish that was in my county. Unfortunately, it's not. But, I mean, that's the way it should be going. But at least in this one county, it's going the completely opposite direction. That's what we have to fear, my friends. If this is actually a dry run to enact something like this in the future, that's very, very scary indeed. How did the public react? Did they act like good little sheep and do what they're told? Or like here in Mecklenburg County, for the most part, when they issued that stay-at-home order, a lot of people were ignoring it. You know, I didn't realize that cutting someone's grass was actually an essential job. I said, well, silly me. But, oh yes, every landscaping person was out there in complete violation of it. Now, they're not enforcing it here in Mecklenburg County, nor are they enforcing it statewide. But again, an individual county can enforce that to the fullest extent that they deem necessary. And let me tell you, in Asheville, which is where is Buncombe County, where they're actually doing that, you just don't have the population. If they're going to be doing that anywhere, it should be in Charlotte, it should be Raleigh, it should be Durham. But they're not. They're asking people to do this on the honor system, and for the most part, people are. But you've always got to have somebody who goes out there just to prove a point. And that's why, again, Lowe's and Home Depot, Walmart, and the grocery stores are packed, because people are, they're getting cooped up. What are the cabin fever, they used to call it. And they're just wanting to get out somewhere and just do something. Now, I don't have to worry about this. I'm not affected by this stay-at-home order because I have a press pass, media credentials. And then, of course, I have the law enforcement stuff, too. So this doesn't affect me, but it does affect a lot of people. And it infuriates me. This is just a bunch of crap that we're having to put up with for no reason whatsoever other than to try and calm people's fears. No, the more you make people stay at home, the worse they're going to get. You can't even go to the park anymore and congregate with more than like three people. It's ridiculous. You can't use the playground equipment here in North Carolina because you might catch the virus. Okay, so let's maintain our social distancing here of 6 feet. Let's go toss a frisbee. Yeah, now I'm just transferring it from my hands to yours, throwing the frisbee. The whole thing is just ludicrous. And it's going to come out, but in the meantime, a lot of damage will be done. Jobs will be lost that may never regain. A lot of stuff is going to happen because of this. Are people going to lose their homes, their cars? This is some serious stuff. And if it turns out that this whole thing has been overblown, then somebody needs to be held accountable.
It's Tommy Freedom.
So what's everybody doing while this is going on? Well, like I said, you know, I have the ability to still get out and have some semblance of freedom with what I do, but a lot of people are home. School's been canceled, at least through May, and that's just kind of stupid to even bring anybody back. I know here in North Carolina, they're saying that the school year essentially is over. So anybody who had passing grades is going to continue on and or graduate if this was your senior year. But that's really got to be horrible. If this was your senior year, you've missed out on times. The prom for some people, I mean, it's a shame. And you can never get that time back. There's never going to be another 2020 school year. It's horrible. These kids have to miss out on that. I'm sure there are some kids that are just overjoyed that they're not going to school, but my senior year of high school was my favorite year of school. I absolutely loved it. I made friends my junior and senior year here in North Carolina that were my best friends, that are still lifetime friends, not somebody I've just hooked up with on Facebook like from the other two places where I used to live and went to school, but these are people that I've stayed in touch with. They became my best friends, and those were the best of times for me. So a lot of people are home, kids are home, and it's really odd to see what these kids are doing. I noticed this morning a lot of chalk, a lot of colored chalk. I've never seen this before. Yeah, you might draw some hopscotch or something, but every neighborhood that I was in, they were using the sidewalks and the driveways for these giant canvases, and they're doing stuff with colored chalk. A lot of them were making like stained glass window designs in the sections of the sidewalk. One particular place, the pillar where the mailbox was made out of bricks, and somebody had taken chalk and had colored each brick a different color all over this mailbox pillar. It's amazing what people are doing to try and keep busy. And again, I mentioned people going to Lowe's and Home Depot and Walmart buying gardening stuff because they have an opportunity to spend the time at home and do this that I guess they just typically don't have. It's just a really good time to be able to do that. I know if I wasn't so busy out there putting this stuff out, I would be working on my vegetable garden right now. Of course, I still wouldn't be able to put my cucumbers in because I can't seem to find them anywhere, but I could at least get the other stuff ready or put in the ground, my potatoes, my tomatoes, my peppers, that sort of a thing. But it's just amazing to see so many people. It's like being on a three-day weekend, seeing so many people around. For the most part, everybody's very friendly. Of course, they are in the South anyway. We all wave at each other. We all say hello, or you're walking across the parking lot and you see somebody, you nod at the very least, or say, hey, how you doing, or good morning, or something like that, or hey. That's just what we do here in the South. We're very friendly people. So for the most part, yeah, everybody's waving more than normal. Yeah, yesterday I did have somebody be a dick in his pickup truck and wouldn't get out of my way, someone around him, but for the most people, everybody's being just as friendly as they were, if not more so, because I'm seeing more people. And a lot of people are waving, and not just the quick hand raise, but actually waving, you know, a sideways wave like Josh Saviano did in the opening credits of The Wonder Years. Just wave really hard and quick. You're seeing this in a lot more people. People are just, I guess, they're happy to maybe have some time right now, but to see other people out and that are still doing the essential things, I think that may have a lot to do with it too. Hey, here comes the paper. We can find out what's going on in our community. And I think that makes a big difference. It helps to bolster the way that they feel. It makes them feel like they're not completely out of touch. Now, in this day and age, at least we do have the internet that we can stay in touch and we can still get the news from TV. Hopefully not, unless you have Newsmax. Or, you know, just listen to the radio. You listen to some music, listen to talk radio, find out what's going on, you know, stay in touch with people. And that's the thing, too, that I've noticed when I'm on Facebook, just the amount of people that are on Facebook. And as soon as you post something, I mean, there's like all kinds of responses and everything coming back. And, you know, I get frustrated about what's going on here, and I post that. And it's just amazing the liberal backlash I get. For the most part, it's not. It's all been positive and support, but there are people who just say, well, you're infecting everyone. You had this and you're infecting them. No, I didn't realize I had it. And I haven't heard any magical numbers materialize. So no, nobody got it from me putting it out because, you know, my hands were dry and everything. And they get coated with newsprint, which probably killed it, you know, even if I did have it on my hands. But I don't cough into my hands. I don't sneeze into my hands. I use the inside of my arm, the crook of my elbow, I guess, as they call it now. So the whole overreaction and people, again, you know, well, I hope that you don't give this to your father and he doesn't get sick and die because of you and what you did. You know, grow up, people. Seriously, you know, just seriously, grow up. Address this for what it is. It's not a crisis. It's a concern. There's a big difference, but it's no bigger of a concern than we go through this time every year when we deal with the cold and flu season. Coronavirus is a flu. We will get through this. We will be fine. There's going to be some deaths, but nothing really, really major. So I'm going to leave off here a little bit differently today than I typically do. Normally, you know, I use my outro, Desolation Canyon, but today I'm going to leave you off with something that is a little bit more in line with what we've got. It is from Checkered Past, and the name of this song is called World Gone Wild, because as far as I'm concerned, that's where we are.
Sing our time.